for those of you who do not know, today is the day we honor our graduates. As a matter of fact, at the 10:30 service, all of our graduates will be here. We'll have a special recognition of them. I don't know how parents handle this time of their lives. As a matter of fact, my little girl, Inla, she is going to be turning 6 years old in July. I cannot imagine how it's going to feel when she one day is graduating from high school and only a summer away before she leaves the house and for a string to be cut. As a matter of fact, I've said this many, many times over to my friends, I wish so much I could just freeze time. Don't you, as parents, you just wish you can freeze time and just keep them as they are? Or, you know, maybe some of you can't relate. Maybe some of you wish you can speed time up and, you know, and hurry up and get them to that point. But for me, with Emma and Noah, I just love them so much, and I love this stage of their lives. I just wish I could keep them this way, but I know that's not going to be the case. And I know there's coming a day where Emma is going to be finishing up, and she's going to be taking her last exam, and she is going to be preparing for her summer before her first semester at college. And for others, it will be college or work or another adventure. But one day, your children, my children, our children, and they'll leave the nest. And with that is a gamut of emotions that we as parents, we run. I do know there's coming a day probably where coming down your stairs or mine will be our children. And they'll be going off to that adventure. They'll be going off to college. They'll be going off to work. They'll be leaving our home, our environment, that safety. And they'll be going into a different environment, one that they will have to create, one where they will be calling the shots, one where they will be under a different authority, and they will have their bags packed. Whatever is in those bags will represent those things that are precious. Those things that that child deems precious and appropriate and necessary. Those things he's taking out of your house, your environment, that he will be taking or she will be taking to their environment and to their house. The question is, what will they deem as important? What will be in those bags as they come down that staircase, that dreadful day to many of us? What will they pack? Well, we know they'll pack clothes, and we know they'll pack maybe some books, and we know they'll pack their belongings, but hopefully there's some more things in that bag than just clothes and just pictures. Hopefully they're going to be carrying in that bag. They're going to be taking out of our house, our environment, those things that are precious to us that we've tried to give to them. Hopefully they're going to be taking in that bag faith. Hopefully they're going to be taking in that bag truth. Hopefully they're going to be taking in that bag values, and we don't want it just to be our faith or our truth or our values. No, no. As parents, we want it to be their faith. We want it to be their values. We want it to be their truth. We want them to own it. We want them to experience it. We want it to be personal in their lives. So no matter what environment they might go to, whether it's orientation of a freshman class or whether it's to a new job or whether it's to another adventure in another place, we want it to be personal in them so that wherever they might go, they might take those things that we deemed appropriate to pass on to them and say, these things are worth grasping, worth holding on to, and these will carry you when you face your storm. These will carry you through life as they've carried mom and dad. They will help you as well. Well, as I think about that, I become anxious. And I imagine there's a lot of parents here, and you're the same way. Because you see, you know what takes place in the average church with the graduating senior. Statistics show us, Barna tells us, in their research group that 61 to 80% of teenagers that grow up in evangelical Christianity, 61 to 80% after they graduate from high school, they do not return to church. They don't see that as valuable. They don't see that as their own. That is mom and dad's priority. That is mom and dad's schedule. That is not going to be my schedule coming up. And as a result, they might pack something in their bag, but they don't take that with them. And that grieves us. And it burdens us. And so we ask the question, well, what can we do about that? What can we do about that? What can we do as a parent to make sure that when those bags are packed that day, that they are taking those things that we as parents have deemed appropriate and essential and necessary for this journey called life and a relationship with God? there are better parents than you and better parents than me who live today with the anguish of a child being a statistic. We have godly people in this group right here this morning. You love God with all your heart. Some of you, you know God's Word so well. You love Jesus. You cannot wait until the next quiet time you have. Your intimacy with Jesus is par to none. But with that being said, there are some of you, you have children that want nothing to do with your God. You have children that want nothing to do with your faith. You have children that when you do talk to them about the Bible and about truth, you get an eye rolled. You get it shrugged off, or you get the impression that they don't want to hear it, and it breaks your heart as well as it should. Parenting's not easy. Being a parent, it's not easy. My wife, I told you, she describes parenting as walking with your heart outside your chest. So vulnerable. Because you want the best. You pray for the best. You work for the best. So that your child experiences the fullness of God in their lives. And yet you see some of the choices and you see some of the directions. And you see the wisdom that they take from some and reject from others. And you wish that could be turned around. Because you know, as a parent, what would be best for them. And we have cliches. Sometimes you have to learn the hard way. Sometimes you have to go through the University of Hard Knocks. And that might work well when it's everybody else's kid. But when it's your kid, you don't want them to be a guinea pig. You don't want to try something out on them. They are too important. They are too precious to be risked in being another statistic. Well, here's some assumptions that we work from. And I'd like to share these with you. If you're writing these down, these will help you to understand the heartbeat of First Baptist and the heartbeat of your pastor and the direction of our future. Number one, there's nothing more important than one's individual relationship with God. Period. Nothing. I mean, it really doesn't matter anywhere remotely in comparison to anything else in life in comparison to one's relationship with God. That is the most important thing in one's life. A relationship with God. If you're here this morning and you don't have a relationship with God, you might have a good job, you might have a good spouse, you might have a good family, you might have a good retirement, you might feel safe and secure, but I'm telling you, sir, ma'am, you are missing it. You're missing it if you have yet to experience a relationship with Jesus Christ. But the good news is you can begin that even this morning. In faith, repentance, calling out to God, the Bible says a new relationship can begin and a new heart can be given. A new way of life can be enjoyed. There's nothing more important than one's relationship with God. Number two assumption, that there is no one that has more potential to influence a child's relationship with God than a parent. I don't care. There is not a single more important personality influence in a child's life than that of a mom or dad. Third assumption is no one has more potential to influence the life of a parent than the church. So no one has the opportunity to impact a child's relationship with God than a parent, but no one has more potential to impact a parent than the church. Number four, when the church's potential to influence the child, it dramatically increases when it partners with a parent. The relationship with God is most important. No one has a better impact on a child's relationship with God than a parent. Nobody has more influence over a parent than a church. But a church dramatically increases its potential to impact the life of a child when it partners with their greatest influence and as a parent. And then the fifth assumption is parents' potential to influence a child dramatically increases when they partner with the church. What I'm saying to you this morning is you have two powerful influences. You have the influence of a family, incredibly powerful, mom and dad. No greater influence on the life of a child than mom and dad. And then you have this other entity, this other family called the family of God. It's the church, and it has incredible influence. Separate, they have great influence. But when you partner a family and a church and they begin to work together for the sake of their child and the children, great, great potential in the life of that child, for that child's faith, for that child's protection, for that child's journey in life and their walk with God. What would it look like if we really took the Bible literally and seriously and we did this? So with that, take your Bibles, turn to Colossians chapter 1, verse 28 this morning. Colossians chapter 1, verse 28. What if what we're about to read we took so seriously that we wrapped all of the ministry that we did here at First Baptist around this essential truth? Colossians chapter 1, verse 28. The Bible reads it this way. And we proclaim Him, that is speaking of Christ, we proclaim Him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, that we may present every man complete in Christ. See, that's the goal. Complete in Christ. We want to help every child one day stand complete in Christ. We want to help them in their journey to stand complete in Christ. And as you, Mom and Dad, we want to help you. And Grandma and Grandpa, we want to help you, so that you are complete in Christ. That is the responsibility that I have to you and you have to me and we have to one another, the body. What if we took so seriously Colossians 1:28 that we proclaimed Him, we admonished every man, we taught every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete, mature, perfect in Christ. Look there. 28, verse 28. It says, we proclaim Him. The word proclaim there is kata eglo. You'll sure remember that a year from now. In the Greek, it means to preach, to testify, to speak clearly. We are to preach Him, Jesus. We are to speak Him, Jesus. We are to communicate clearly about the person and the work of Jesus Christ. That's the job of every Christian, and that's the job of the church. To speak clearly. I told you even about this issue regarding to tithing. We use language here, the First Baptist Church and other churches do the same thing, that the person that we're trying to reach, that we're trying to influence, the person that we might be inviting to church, that might be amongst us even today, we use language that they have no concept, no clue about. And so we might be talking to one another. We might or may not even know what we might be saying, but guarantee for some, it would be almost as if they were speaking in tongues. It is unintelligible. They do not know what it means. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if we are to communicate Christ, we are to do it clearly. We are to speak plainly. That Greek word denotes the connotation of teaching simplistically, clearly, defining it. And we need to do that about the person and the work of Jesus. The second word here is admonishing. Admonishing every man. What does it mean to admonish? It comes from two Greek words, nuos, which means mind, and tithemi, which means to place. The word admonishment means to place in one's mind. To take biblical truth and to place it in one's mind. To admonish an individual is to say to an individual, this is what God's Word says about your particular situation. This is what God's Word says about your particular arena of life. This is what God's Word says about your calling. This is what God's Word says about your attitude. This is what God's Word says about your home. This is what God's Word says about you. And as you take that word, you are placing it in their minds for the express purpose to dictate and influence what they think. And if you influence and dictate what someone thinks, you will influence and dictate the way someone lives. As a man thinks within himself, the Bible says, so he is. You want to change a person's life? Change the way they think. Even this morning, you are being admonished, whether you realize it or not. I am taking biblical truth, and I, under the Spirit of God, am doing the best I know how to do to place it in your mind so that you might think differently. Because as you think, there go you. We proclaim Him that is speaking, teaching clearly. We admonish every man that is placing in individual minds. And we teach every man. The Greek word there, didasko, You've heard the teaching didactic preaching is where you get that word. It means and has within it the understanding of the calculation to influence the understanding of the person or the will of the person who is being taught. You see, we're not just interested in filling your mind with more facts. We're not interested in just filling your mind with some other history. We're doing so for the express purpose that it might affect you in the will, that it might affect you down here. See, coming to church is not just saying, I've never learned that before. As a matter of fact, I don't know if I'm going to say too many things in my time here that you're going to leave here saying, I don't think I've ever learned that before. You know why? Because many of you, you've been in church so long, you've listened to better preachers than me, and there's nothing new under the sun. If you think to yourself, man, that guy up there, he's so smart, I've never heard that before, just let you know, someone else has already said that. There's nothing new under the sun. There's no new revelation out there. God has spoken, and He speaks through the living Word. But I'm just here to tell you, nothing new under the sun, the Bible says. And so you're learning things all week long. You're being impacted and being taught things all week long. I'm here. I'm trying my very best to teach you, but it's not just so it can compete with the other things you've been taught. No, no, no. So it might sink deep down on the inside. It might make a connection that only the Holy Spirit of God can bring about. That it impacts your will. That it does something in the basement of your soul. That you live and you function, you operate, you believe differently. Dictated by another kingdom, another world, a king who we sang about this morning, who is coming? King Jesus. So the Bible says we proclaim Him. We admonish every man, and we teach every man. And we do so in all wisdom. See, it's not just a shotgun approach. Can't be. It just can't be, you know, like, well, whoever's here, God, you know, we'll just, you know, make the shotgun and just, you know, and it just sprays and tries to, you know, whoever it hits, you know, hope it connects with somebody. No, no, we got to have more wisdom than that. Well, we as missionaries, we understand that. You go in the mission field, you understand the way that you communicate, the way that you preach Him, the way that you admonish every man, the way you teach every man. It's going to be different the way you do it in Kenya than the way you do it in Indonesia. It's going to be different in China compared to the way that you're going to do it in Australia. And it's going to be different the way you do it here in Lebanon to the way I did it back in Charleston, South Carolina. And it takes wisdom, wisdom from above. It takes someone asking the question, what is the best way to do this? See, truth is truth no matter what, but truth is received in certain environments better than others. And you and I, we understand that. We know that. Again, that's why we will send our kids off to camp, and we'll spend a lot of money to do so. And they will go to an environment that is specifically tailor-made for them. And in that tailor-made environment for them, for that week, they will be exposed to truth. They will be taught. They will be admonished. They will be preached to about Jesus. And as a result, they will come back and they will say comments like this. I have never experienced anything like that before in my life. That is the best week of my life. Dad, I was so close to heaven, I thought I could touch it. Dad, I didn't want to come back home. How come life can't be like camp? And we wonder, man, must have been a good camp. You know, the truth of the matter was, it was just an environment tailor-made so that they might receive preaching, admonishment, and teaching, where in other environments, it hasn't been very conducive. With all wisdom, we're to do this job of proclaiming Him, admonishing every man, teaching every man. We're to do so with all wisdom. I saw this one time, and if you think this is ingenious, again, nothing new under the sun. 2,000 years ago, God, He became a man. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman under the law. It wasn't any time God did it. It was a specific time, a specific environment that God chose to become one of us. The Bible says over there in Colossians that it pleased God for the fullness of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Spirit. It pleased God for all the fullness to be in Him. So that means when you look at Jesus, you are looking at God. You want to know what God looks like? Look at Jesus. You want to know what God sounds like? Look at Jesus. God chose 2,000 years ago to pour His self into a vessel, into a man, a baby, Jesus Christ. Now it's our job as a church to take that timeless truth, the person and the work and the message and the mystery of Christ, and we are to take that and pour it into individual lives. We start with some of ours that are very, very young. You know what? I think this has a hole in it. This is messing with my illustration. I hate when that happens. Help me. Somebody run, quick. Ain't this kind of like our life sometimes? They just leak, don't they? You bet. Where can I go from here? I'm okay. Here's what we're going to do. Pray I don't get electrocuted. All right. Here's God. Okay? God. This is Him. Timeless. No matter what time it is. No matter what era. No matter what century. God does not change. Same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank you, Miss Karen. Now, it's our job to take what is timeless and to proclaim it, and to portray it. Okay, thank you very much. To proclaim it, to teach it, to place in minds, admonish with all wisdom. So we'll do that with different age groups. We'll start with our children, our babies, preschoolers. Now, when you're in preschool, you're not so much concerned about teaching, you know, a three-year-old, you know, the beast in Armageddon, and how God is going to, through the persecution of the tribulation, those are kind of truths you don't really teach a three-year-old. But you know, a three-year-old does need to be taught. A three-year-old, truth does need to be proclaimed to. A three-year-old still needs to be admonished. Truth still needs to be placed in a three-year-old's mind. And so we'll take what is timeless, we'll take the truth about God, and we will pour it into a child's life. Now, we need to ask ourselves the question, what's the best environment to do this? Here's a three-year-old little boy, a three-year-old little girl. What is the best environment whereby we can communicate simple truths for a child to receive? And the question needs to be asked, well, what are some of those truths? What does a three-year-old child need to know about God? They're going to be going into children's ministry before long, but while we have them in preschool, what are some essential truths that we need to teach? Oh, one church I've told you about, North Point, I found it very interesting. They have boiled their preschool ministry down to three important truths. All of it boils around three important truths, and here they are. Number one, God created me. That's good to know. God created me. That means that there's a lot of importance in that. If you're created by God, that means you have a purpose. You're not an accident. There's a purpose in your life. God has a plan for you. God created me. That's good to get across to a three-year-old. A three-year-old can grasp that. I am created by God. Second is that God loves me. That's a good truth. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Emma, she's saying that song. Noah, he's learning that song. That's a truth that a three-year-old can comprehend. I am loved by God. He created me and He loves me. And here's the third one. Jesus wants to be my best friend. That speaks of Jesus wants a relationship with me. Now that child or that little boy or little girl may not enter into a relationship with Jesus, but at least they're being made aware of the fact that that is what Jesus wants. He wants a relationship with me. And so if they say, if we cannot teach anything else, we're just going to focus on these three things. If they don't grasp anything else, that's okay. We just want them to go to the next level, children's ministry, understand those three concepts. That one, I'm created by God, I am loved by God, and Jesus wants to be my best friend. And so what they do is they have taken timeless truth and they have poured it in a specific environment for a child in order for them to retain. Well, then they get a little older and they move from preschool and they go into children's ministry. Now you got a little sippy cup here. Okay? You know, I think I just did that wrong. I think the sippy cup is supposed to be with preschoolers. You know what? Y'all come back to the next sermon. There will not be any spilled water. And all this is going to be arranged right. It's going to be better. I promise. I hate when I do that. All right. Shot down in a blaze of glory. Okay, here it is. Y'all see where I'm going with this. This is the children. This is preschool. This is children. Help me, Lord. Okay. Hey, in children's ministry, we're not going to be talking about David and Bathsheba. All right? That's kind of too heavy for a child. Now, when they get into middle school ministry, we're going to be doing series on David and Bathsheba. We're going to be teaching them a whole lot about purity and lust. But for a child, we're not going to be doing that. Because it's not just for them. It's not age appropriate for them. And see, this really challenged me when I first started thinking about this. Because, see, I just thought to myself, before I became a parent, when I do become a parent, my children, I'm a preacher and I'm going to teach them Greek. I want them to know the Hebrew language. I want them to be scholars. I want them to be able to tell someone where the beast is and what the beast is about in Armageddon when they're of the age of five. You know, I just thought, well, that would be really impressive. But for whose benefit? See, Emma and Noah, we've done our very best to teach them simple truths. They don't know all the stories in the Bible, of course, because we haven't taught them all the stories in the Bible. They've gone to Sunday school, and Sunday school lessons haven't touched on certain stories of the Bible because even our Sunday school understands that some lessons are age appropriate. Some Bible stories are age appropriate. If Emma came home today, she's not here, so I can tell you this. If Emma came home today and she started asking questions about why God was displeased with a certain king because he didn't kill everybody in the city and he left a few that were still alive, and she says, well, why would God want everybody to be murdered? You know, that I could do my very best to try to explain that to Emma, but I'd be challenged on her level for her to get that. I'd be challenged. And so therefore, I as a parent and we as a church, we need to ask ourselves the question, what are the best avenues and what is the best environment where we can teach age-appropriate truth? And again, truth doesn't change. Truth is timeless. It's God. It's His Word. And we learn about Him through His Word. But the ways that we communicate it, the way that we preach it, the way that we proclaim it, the way that we admonish people with it, it does change, age appropriate. And so, what you have, I won't even do it because I've already messed up, but I have different age groups, and everyone represents. And so here is a particular environment that we set up every Sunday morning. And a lot of things that I talk about, we've got some kids here, it's just going over their heads. You know, it's not really for them. They might say, hey, what did the preacher mean by such and such? But the truth of the matter is, they ain't going to get it, and we don't expect them to get it. This is not their environment, but they are going to leave this environment in just a few short minutes, and they're going to go to another environment. And that's going to be an environment particularly made for them. And in that environment, they're going to be able to hear truths that they can understand, that can hit home, that can touch their hearts. And so this whole idea of teaching, proclaiming, admonishing, we do it with wisdom. And the end result is so that we can present every man complete in Christ. What does it mean to be complete in Christ? Here's what it means. Follow this. It's that you know God better. In John chapter 17, verse 3, it says, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one and only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. It doesn't get any better than that, ladies and gentlemen, than knowing God. It's not about knowing everything else. It's not about being the smartest, you know, bulb in the socket. It's not about being the sharpest knife in the drawer. It's not about having all the answers in your Sunday school class. It's about knowing God. And I'm telling you, you can know things about God and still not know God. You can know truths about God and still not know God personally. I've grown up with people in church, and I've been so surprised with certain behaviors and certain attitudes, and I just come back to the fact that, you know, some people, just because they're in the environment where God is being talked about and God is being sung about and God is being referred to, it doesn't mean they know God personally on that type of level. It doesn't mean they know God intimately, and I'm telling you what, that is completion when you are growing in an intimate relationship with God, not just knowing about God, not just knowing facts, not just knowing stories, but Him. Personally, God in your life. That's completion. Completion is helping you and I out of that knowledge to trust Him. Paul says, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, without faith it's impossible to please God. For whoever believes in Him must first know that He exists. Whoever comes to Him must first believe that He exists and that He's a rewarder of those who seek Him. You can't please God without faith. You can't please God with never taking a risk. You can't please God by trying to shore up all your bases and then take the next step. No, pleasing God says, I know you so well that even if I fail in this, you're going to be here to catch me. I talked to a friend the other day, and this person, they were debating on what they should do and about a life calling. You know, should I take this job? Should I take this job? Here's the good news. I don't believe God is so much concerned about the what as He's concerned about the how. You know, you can choose this one, you can choose that one. You know what? They both might be right. But God's more concerned with the how. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Whether you're a plumber or whether you're a carpenter, to God, does it really matter? I really don't know. But I do know this. How you're a plumber and how you're a carpenter, that makes all the difference in the world to God. For whatever you do, whether word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And so completion in Christ, ladies and gentlemen, is not just the accumulation of facts. It's not the accumulation of stories. It is a personal, intimate understanding, awareness, intimacy with the God of creation, who's made Himself known in the person of Jesus Christ. 2,000 years, God became a man. And understanding and developing a relationship with that person, the more you walk with Him, the more you find in your life this idea of completion. Our kids, they are going to be packing their bags one day. What would it look like if we asked ourselves the question, when a baby arrives, or a little kid arrives in our nursery, one day, 17, 16, 18 years from now, they're going to be packing their bags. What would it look like if we organized all of our ministry, in our children's ministry, in our youth ministry, our middle school ministry, so that we get to influence what they are putting in their bags? We're going to be honoring some graduates this morning. They, in a few months, will pack their bags. For them, it's too late. But for the little ones of our church, it's not. And what if we cumulatively came together with wisdom and said, what is the best way to communicate Christ, to admonish and to teach? And listen, what do we want to boil down to? What do we want to boil it down to? That they may not leave with everything we want them to have, but what are the take-homes we want them to have? So that when they do leave, they have within their bag that which we deem appropriate. Nothing's more important than one's relationship with God. A child's relationship with God is no more influenced by anyone else than by their parent. A parent is no more influenced by anything else than the church. Church is able to impact the life and the relationship a child has with God when they partner with a parent. And a parent is so much better able to impact their relationship for their children, their relationship with God, when they partner with their church. That's why I want us to be here at First Baptist. We come beside our families and we help them for the express purpose of one day, bags will be packed. We want them to take what is important. Let's pray. Father, thank You.